We're really excited to be here. I'm all the way from Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
My wife, Roll Tide. My wife from Michigan. Glory to God. It's a good thing. I think Jen kind of introduced the subject we want to talk to you about tonight. But before we get started, I always want to start off with a few things that are really dear in my heart. And there's nothing that's as dear in my heart besides God is my family. So I want to introduce you to a couple pictures. If you guys will put those pictures up, and we're going to show you kind of my heart, my love. Obviously, you've met Tracy. There's not another beautiful girl like that. You know, she is the most beautiful to me. So, right? And the next one, that's Isaac and Joseph. So Joseph is 2 months. Isaac's like 14 months. I think that's all. This one, we're trying to teach him how to eat with a spoon. Okay, so he's using a spoon as a brush still. I don't know if you see it. He's brushing. And then he's trying to eat without the spoon, but we're going to get there, okay? Praise God. You can just believe with us. Is that it? Is that it? And then Joseph, right? This is our baby. This is my love. He's got a great smile. He's got my smile. So, all right, so that's the spiritual stuff, okay? So we're going to get started. I just kind of want to talk a little bit about the call of God. It's something that's very dear to my heart right now, being that I came from Rhema Bible Training College, graduated from that college, and I work at Kenneth Hagin Ministries right now as a project manager, and we have been pressing into God. Me and my wife, we both agreed when we came together that we were going for full-time ministry, and the call of God on our life was full-time ministry. So we haven't been as settled as we want. We've been looking at that. God's really been placing it on our heart to kind of branch out, step out, walk out, believe God in those areas. And we ask God, is it time to start our own ministry? Is it time to do our own thing? God didn't release us for that. So we have friends at Rhema Bible Training College, Rob and Julia. We were going to serve in youth ministry. I came from youth pastor position, Tracy from a college age position. And so I was, you know, we were coming, and we were just going to serve at Rhema Bible or at Rhema Bible Church. And so we decided we were going to do that. And I was looking at jobs and different things. And God has really just pressed on our heart and really opened doors for us to minister out and just to share the love like this door tonight. I'll tell you what, it's been an awesome thing. If you guys can turn to Romans chapter 1 for me. Romans 1. Do we love the Word of God?
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Romans 1, verse 11 and 12.
Says, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. And 12, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but also I want to be encouraged, basically is what he's saying there. So I really want to focus on a few words here. One of the first words is I long. That word long, it actually means to dote upon or to intensely crave possession of. When I was preparing the message and thinking about you guys, my favorite part of just tonight is not just the night tonight, but it is the preparation of tonight. It is getting in God's face, that personal relationship. When I was getting in God and talking to him about you guys, man, he was just sharing with me what you needed to hear, how much he loves you, how anointed you guys were, just watching you guys praise. I really had a word in my heart just come up that you guys were like the remnant, that you guys were like the starters. You're the firebrand. You're the ones that are going to start your revival in your city and your school and wherever your friends and your jobs. You are the ones that, you know, you're up here passionately praising God, but you can't just take this passionate praise in here. You got to take that out there. And that's what Paul was talking about here. He says, I longed. I don't know how many times I came back to this message. I came back and back and back and back. And I started asking God, I said, Lord, am I just doing this and anxiety? Am I just doing this out of nervousness just because I'm just trying to perfect some message? And the Lord really spoke to me, and he told me this verse, and he said, no. He said, you're longing. You have a passion on the inside for a group of people that you've never met, and you don't understand why, but it's a passion for these people, and you're just longing like Paul would long for the Romans. You know, Paul, when he wrote this verse, he's never met the Romans, you know. If you look up his verses on Google, just do a quick Google search about Paul and prayers. He says constantly, I'm praying for you always. I'm always in my prayers, I'm thanking God for you. He talks about that every epistle, he pretty much opens it with, I'm talking about you, I'm thinking about you, I'm meditating about you, I'm praying about you. And I felt kind of like that's what we were doing, me and my wife together. We have never met you, but we are longing for you. We are praying for you. We are believing in you. We are compassionate about you and about this group and this age. We are compassionate and believe the best. And seeing you guys praise God like that was just awesome, and it was really encouraging for me. And the second verse I really wanted to talk about in there was to bring you some spiritual gift. Now, just like the leper, when he was talking to Jesus, he said, if you will, you can make me clean, right? He knew that he had the ability and power to do that, but he didn't know that he would do it for him. Much less did he didn't know that him doing that for him, that he would also be able to do that for other people. How many people believe you got a gift in here tonight? How many of you guys know that you're anointed, you're called of God, that there's a promise on your life, there's a calling on your life? See, that's good to see. So you guys know that God gives gifts. So do you know also that he gives them to you, and that that gift is not just for you, it's for other people? You see, it's different if you come in here tonight and you're worshiping God and praising God, and that's encouraging and that's awesome. But are you like that in the school place? Come on, somebody. Are you like that with your friends? Are you like that in your job place? That's where you win people. That's where the things change. You guys, this place is packed. The kind of worship you got and the leadership you got that I've met so far is amazing. I'm humbled to be standing in this place right now. And this place ought to be just jammed. And I believe it would be. And I think it is going to be. And I can see that. But I can see you doing that. You know, I see you doing that. When you're living out, Joyce Meyer said this. She said, I try to preach always and not say a word. Are you preaching with your lifestyle right now? Are you preaching with the way what you're saying, what you're talking about? Are you ministering just by your love? Just a hug is a ministering act. Buying a soda for somebody is a ministering act. How about the person that nobody talks to at school that sits in the corner that is longing and searching and seeking somebody? Because somebody might not know the way he dresses or the way he talks. That would be an act of love, right? Just a hug for him, or, hey, how you doing today? Right? So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You have that kind of gift. You might say, I'm not called to the fivefold, or maybe I am, or maybe I don't have the gift of gab, right? Or the gift of, I can't talk in front of people, right? But you have a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift, right? You get that, have a gift. And I can take this gift to the people that I'm talking to. I can take this gift to the people that I'm dealing with. I can change my future. I can change my outlook. I can change the people around me, right? Third verse, the last word I wanted to look at was encouraged by yours. See, in worship, you guys encouraged. You blessed me. You encouraged me. I'm not naive enough to know that I'm standing up here and I got it all figured out. I got everything that I need and I'm just up here trying to teach. I expect you guys to encourage me, you know? You guys are just, you have that ability to encourage just by just being here, just by filling a seat. Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, I wish that all would come with a gift, with a word, with a tongue, with a prayer. You know, even in prayer, when we were praying this tonight, you know, you guys, a couple of you were praying, man. That's biblical. That's Bible. And that's awesome. And I'm excited to see what kind of other stuff you guys have on the inside of what, and we can explore. And just, I want you guys to be bold for God and step out and branch out. Paul was extremely compassionate. I saw these three things in operation as we were ministering, as we were getting ready for this. My I guess if you want to title the message, it is the call of God. If you want to title that, if you're taking notes, the call of God. Through my life experience, I've come to know that understanding or discovering the call of God for your life equals many calls from God in your life. Okay, if you're writing that down. Understanding or discovering the call of God for your life equals many calls from God in your life, which means relationship, which means prayer. When you guys got saved, who in here knew everything they were supposed to do, knew the calling of God in their life, knew exactly what they're supposed to be doing in 10 years. Nobody, right? Who does that happen to? So if you think that when I got saved, that's all I got for me and God's got for me, and somewhere down the road in 10 years when I graduate from school, I'll have an experience with God, and that experience, and then all of a sudden I'll know that I'm in the call of God, that's not right. Right now you're in the call of God. Sitting right here tonight, you're in the call of God. And it's not about an experience, it's about a personal relationship. There's nothing, well, there's a lot of things, but one of the greatest things that you can figure out is the call of God for your life. You know, I'm actually paying off a loan right now, a pretty sizable loan from school. I graduated from University of Alabama, Roll Tide. All right, and then, it took me like 6-7 years to get out of college, because I couldn't get my courses completed, not because of some intellectual thing, but because going in, I was an athletic trainer for first year. I decided I didn't want to do that. Then I was thinking about doing engineering, decided I didn't want to do that. Thirdly, I graduated from CMBA Business School. That's the 19th best business school in the nation. And I graduated with honors. And I figured I went directly into corporate field, worked for Hyundai Motor Manufacturer, making Hyundai cars, pulling in parts all over the world. Couldn't get happy. God was after me the whole time. I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. I didn't have anybody telling me, you know, you have a call on your life. I grew up with people telling me that you can do anything you want to do. You're talented. You're anointed. You can do anything you want to do. And there's some truth to that, because guess what? When God made creation, He made you beautiful. When God made creation, He made you smart and intellectual. There's people making millions of dollars right now because of the miracle of creation, because they are somewhat intellectual. They are smart. They have some gift in some area of business or some gift in some other area. But that's not how you figure out what God's called you to do. Matter of fact, if you figure out the call of God in your life, you will save money, you will save time, you will save efficiency, and you will stay on fire for God, and you will be what Corinthians says you will be, is a minister of reconciliation, even if you're not called into the fivefold. You will be that minister of reconciliation, even if you have trouble standing up in front of people speaking, right? I still get nervous from that, you know, right? It's not the easiest thing to do, but I just got back from Haiti where I stood in front of 10,000 people. Right? And that message, 1,500 people received Jesus. And that message, over 2,000 people got healed. I kicked the devil in his teeth on that one. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? I kicked the devil in his teeth because I believe in what God's called me to do. Right? God called me, you know, it was interesting, before that happened, God had asked me to do something. I'm going to tell you right now, I was a chicken. Right? I was. And it's okay if you don't do it, because God always gives you another opportunity. But I was at the University of Alabama campus, and I'm turning the corner, and there's a guy, he's standing up on the steps, you know, and there's probably 300 students out here, and he's preaching condemnation. He's preaching, you know, somebody's going to come get you if you don't, you know, he's preaching fire and brim, hailstone, right? Somebody's going to get you, you got to get saved, and God sends people to punish you, and God sends people to tell you about all this, and if you don't change, then you're going to go to hell and that sort of thing. And he's just preaching, and it just really hurt my heart, because there's 300 students out here that probably don't know God. And if they see God like that, then they see God in a different respect than He really wants them to be. So I'm in the story. I'm seeing this. My heart is hurting. I actually run home, get my Bible, because I was ready to get up on the wall, but I was shaking. I run home, get my Bible, and he's answering questions. And I was getting sent some questions. The crowd's like, woo, because I knew something about the Word, right? So I was able to challenge him in some respect. But I never got up. The Lord, I felt like in my heart I was supposed to get up and preach on that wall in front of those 300 students. I had never done that before. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. But guess what? 5 years later, what I'm preaching in front of 10,000 people in Haiti, right? Come on. God gives you another opportunity. God gives you another chance. The gifts and the callings are without repentance, right? We know that we are a gift, we are called. If you have known that God has told you to do something and you haven't been able to do it, I want you to feel okay. I want you to feel it's okay. It's okay, because it's going to come around again. I remember I was a youth pastor, and one of my girls, and we were at the ramp. Has anybody ever heard of the ramp before? No, anybody heard that? We passionately praise God at the ramp.
Just like you guys here, we have 3 days of services, 8 to 12, let out for lunch from 12 to 1, 1 to 4, let out for dinner 5 to 6, and then 7, we're on. We're sitting on concrete floors. People are hungry for the God, for the gospel. People are hungry, and we're just sitting there, and they are calling altar calls, come up and pray, come up and pray. And Naima was up there praying, and she comes and tugs me on the shirt, and she says, Hey, Pastor Nigel, God told me to break up with my boyfriend. And I said, okay, well, I don't really have anything to say. I just believe that you need to do what God tells you to do, right? So God, so later, you know, I didn't really ask her about it till a little bit later. And she says, no, I hadn't broke up with my boyfriend. We were home. And I'm just, no, I hadn't done that, no. And then she stops coming to church. Then I see on Facebook later, like a year or two later, that she's pregnant, age 16, right? But God was looking out for her. God was looking out for her. You remember what the Bible says? And it says in Genesis chapter 11 talks about Enoch, how he walked with God for 365 years. Isn't that cool? Oh my gosh. That would be amazing. And you're going to do that, right? In heaven. And he walked with God for 365 years, and it talks about in Hebrews, and he made the chapter the heroes of faith. Does everybody know that Hebrews 11, they fulfill the call of God in their life? That's why they're one of the heroes of faith. And he's in that for doing what? Walking with God? No, he didn't call fire down, right? He didn't get, nobody got hurt, nobody got healed. He walked with God. And it says that God was pleased in him and took him so that he would not see death. Well, did you know that his dad lived to be 965 years old? His dad. So was he about to die of old age? Probably not, right? So when he took him because he didn't want to see death, it's probably because he didn't want him to see an accident. He probably had something fatal coming, and God just took him because he walked with God. This same instance with this girl, God was trying to protect her. It's not time to have a baby. You're not, what are you doing? But she didn't follow God, right? So the calling of God on your life and God's direction is important just to stay with God and allow God to minister to you, but it's from personal relationship. It's not from experience. Let me have a volunteer real quick. Somebody come up here real quick. You, come here. One time, I'm a storyteller. I don't know. I hope you guys are okay with that. I'm a storyteller. Just right here. Just now, just stand up. One time I was in 7th or 8th grade, right? I'm in 7th or 8th grade and I was in service, and there was a lady evangelist speaking. She was a guest speaker, and she said, she called me up, just like I would call somebody up, like I called my friend up here. She called me up, and she's like, there's a call of God on your life, and she does this. Let the word of God, Father, just call him, give him an anointing, give him a promise, give him a presence, let him be addicted to the word, glory, and she does that. Right? Well, guess what? I did what you did. I mean, I was like freaking out. And then I had friends. I was sitting with my friends and they're all laughing at me doing what you did. And then like my brother's there, he's 3 years older and he's with his friends and they're pointing and laughing. And my dad turns around and says, stop that. And then like they're pointing and laughing. And then like I was so embarrassed, but that didn't get my attention. That was an experience. Thanks, bud. Appreciate you. Good job. Give him a round of applause. That didn't get my attention. If you're waiting on an experience from God to figure out or discover the call of God, then you're not seeing things right. It might get your attention, but you haven't built the habit of checking in with God. You might be sitting here right now saying, call of God, man, I'm however old I am. And that could be a long ways away. I want you to start right now, if you're not already, but you probably already are, the way you're just praising God, is checking in your spirit with the Lord. God, when he places a call in your life, he doesn't take your personality away. He doesn't take your mind away. He doesn't say, you have to act like this. You have to preach like this. I probably don't preach like Pastor Jen, right? She's awesome, and I'm not as awesome. So I'm saying she's cool. It's like you're when if God called you to do something, He's not saying,
if you don't like to dance, you got to become a dancer, right? Or if you don't like to do this, it's like it's not that. That's not the call of God. Some people say, "Man, he's going to call me to Africa, right? I'm going to be in the bush, right?" But that's not the call. That's not how God does it. He lines yourself up. He lines yourself up through personal relationship. I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's just all inside. First step is just discovery. It's not details. If you're writing it down, first step to figure out the call of God on your life is discovery. It's not details. You know, my wife loves details, and I love her because she loves details. But I love discovery. And my life was, she has a great personal relationship with the Lord. But in that personal time where you're getting before God, you're discovering, you're walking out with God. I had a friend of mine, Paul Manisi, called me, and you know, just by the Spirit, I was just talking with him. I knew, felt just the heaviness on him, and I could just sense, like, man, are you okay? Like, and he was praying for me and just believing God in this season of transition for us. And I could just tell that because his heart is full-time ministry, and I could just tell that, you know, that he was thinking and he was getting his mind into all the details, but he had forgotten, like, a little bit of the discovery phase, the relationship phase. How do you be efficient? How do you save money with your life? It's in that discovery. Even if you're called to business, when you get out of college or whatever, get out of high school, what college do I go to? Where is my friends? What friends am I supposed to have? Am I supposed to not be hanging out with that person? What job am I supposed to have? That all comes through relationship, guys. That you're the best job you can find is because you're in relationship with the Lord. It's funny because I was, I've been searching for vehicles, right? I wanted a truck. Who loves trucks? Truck people. Couple over here. Trucks, right? I'm looking for trucks, and my wife blatantly says, "We're not getting another vehicle." I'm like, dang. I want a truck, Lord. And so we're going through, you know, months. I'm still looking. Like, I heard her, but I didn't hear her, like, a little bit, you know? And I'm listening and I'm respecting because I'm submissive, right? And she's submissive to me. And I'm listening and I'm just like, I just feel this. Like, man, I'm just thanking. And I just felt like in my heart, I need to thank God for the truck. So, Father, I thank you. I have this truck. It's an awesome truck, Lord. I thank you. It's a 4x4. Who likes the 4x4s? It's a big truck. And I just praise you for it. And the guy, one of the guys that sponsored the Haiti Crusade comes up to me. He says, "Look, I want you to borrow this vehicle. It's like a big excursion, right? It's a 4x4. I want you to borrow it for 2 weeks." And I said, "And then we'll take it back." I was like, "Okay, that will help. You know, we have two children trying to get to different places." And at the end of around about a week and a half, he says, "Look, just keep it indefinitely." $12,000 vehicle right there. Because of relationship. Because of relationship, guys. I knew in my spirit, I'm kind of walking out already what God's talking to me about, and I'm not seeing it's even God. I'm seeing, man, I just need a truck. We need a truck. And I'm kind of walking out. And if when you're in a relationship with the Lord, you're already doing things that God is asking you to do, and sometimes you don't even know it's God. Because you're so in tune and in line. You know? You're so in tune and in line. God's people have been speaking change over your life, change over your life. I've been looking for jobs because I'm in line with God. And I was looking for jobs months ago. Change over your life, change over your life. People getting words, we know it. Because we're walking in line with God. Because it's discovery, not details. God loves details. I wrote this down. God loves details. So if you women love details, great. Because God loves them too, right? For a man, sorry, we got to keep with discovery, right? So God loves details, because how do we know God leaves details? Because he knows how many hairs upon your head, right? He knows how much sand is on the shore. He knows how many stars are in the sky. God, he's a God of order. He's a God of details. But can we think as high as God? Are we as smart as God? So if we're not walking with God and we're trying to establish the details, what can happen? Can you do that again? Thank you. Right? We're missing some stuff, right? We're missing things because we're trying to do it on our own. and were like me, going to this major and going to this major and going to this major, now footing a big bill. Right? So God loves the details. If you would, turn over to Psalm chapter 40 for me, please. I'm going to read this. Well, I haven't even turned in my Bible because you guys are awesome. Verse 1, if you would. Verse 1, please. Psalm 41, could you put that up? Sorry guys, I changed it on you a little bit. For the choir director, Psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. And let's go all the way through 8. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud, or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand you don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come as written about me in the scriptures. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Right? Verses, I'm going to read 6 on my own right here. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings, verses 6. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings now that you have made me listen. One rendition of that says, you've pierced my ear. Now, this is not for the standard of piercing or the benefits of piercing, but it is about God opening up and allowing you to understand or see or hear instruction. He said, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Excuse me. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come as written about me in the scriptures. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. What David is saying here is saying it's not in the ritual. It's in the relationship. David said, you know, I killed this many animals. I did this many things. But God's saying, that's great and that's awesome and that's the law. I'm glad you're doing those things, but I'm opening up your understanding. So your words are on my heart. I want your relationship. This scripture, when he said in verse 7, as it's written about me in the scriptures, he actually found himself in Deuteronomy chapter 17, where it talks about the type of king of Israel, the type of king Israel will have later on. How did he find himself? Relationship. By reading the Word of God. How do you find yourself? Anybody? How do you find yourself? Relationship. Reading the Word of God. God's Word. God's will. That's how you find yourself. You know, how did Jesus find himself?
In the Word.
You remember the verse where it talks about that Jesus was what found in the temple, and he astounded the teachers by his answers, and his parents were worried about him and said, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Right? And they said, and he said, I must be about my Father's business. Right? He spent day and night in the Word. And then he saw the repercussions of spending day and night in the Word. He saw the benefits. He saw the benefits of having a personal relationship. You want to touch your city? Be different. You want to touch your friends? Be different. What is everybody else doing? They're doing whatever they're doing. How many people are laying hands on the sick? How many people are praising God, praising the name of Jesus? Sometimes I just do this for fun. I work at the Cheesecake Factory, and I wait tables, and Wow. I got it. You guys love it. I bring cheese. No, I wish, right? No, but it's a cool place to work, right? It's a cool place to work, and I really enjoy it. There's a buddy of mine. Most people there are just living in worldly style, worldly life, you know. But there's a buddy of mine. His name's Daniel, and he's on fire for God. But he's real with himself. And so we pray with each other. We talk about the things of God together. We are the remnant of God and for the Cheesecake Factory. That is my church right now until I come into my new church. That's my church. And sometimes me and him, we'll do this for fun. We'll be back in the kitchen, and there'll be like 15 servers there, and the manager who's expoing on the line, and there'll be staff or whatever cooking, and we'll just be like, praise Jesus! And people, and the servers will be like, what in the world? But we, Lord, we glorify you. We just have our own praise center, praise central center over there. We'll just start praising God, and everybody will be like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? They're crazy. But we have a reputation, right? Because we love Jesus. Because we have a personal relationship with him. Do you guys have a reputation? Do people look at you and say, man, that guy loves Jesus. I don't know if I like him or not. I don't really like his style or he's kind of weird. But does it matter? Are you sold out? Yeah, I think so too. Right? Relationship. All right. So, and it also says, right here, let me go ahead and show down. Can you guys put up the Jesus picture, please? Show a little Jesus picture for you. All right. I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw this, and I thought it was good. Who all cannot see Jesus in this picture? Who all cannot? When I first saw this picture, yeah, it's cool. It's cool, right? When I first saw this picture, I could not see Jesus, I promise. It took me a really long time to see Jesus. I had people coming down. I stopped my work at my desk. And they're like, what are you doing? I can't see Jesus. They say, you need to get saved, right? But I can't see Jesus. And I had people telling me how he's in there. And there's his beard and that stuff. You know? And I could not see him for the life. And finally, I stepped back. Sometimes it helps to step back, but I stepped back and finally saw him. You know, if you can't see Jesus, come up later and we'll show you. It's okay. Right. But I finally saw him. And sometimes I feel like this is how we are. Sometimes, guys, sometimes I feel like this is how we are. Hey, listen up right quick. Sometimes I feel like this is how we are. Okay? Sometimes I feel like we go through our daily responsibilities and we have Jesus kind of compartmentalized. And we have like the woods over here, we have like our friends over here, we have our job over here, we have our hobbies, our games, and you know, we have all this over here, but Jesus is some little compartment that we give like Sunday and Wednesday to. And if that's the case, then you're gonna be doing what we're talking about doing. Or you're going to be living in that life where you're missing things. You're missing details. You're missing vital information in your life that God is trying to get to you because you're not acknowledging him. You're not touching base with him. You know, if somebody's calling you and you're not picking up the phone, then you're not building a relationship with this person. Right? If somebody's talking to you, and they're trying to get your attention, and a lot of times it looks like this. Jesus is like this person that, you know, I don't know if you have this friend that keeps coming up to us and saying, hey, what's up, how you doing? And that's all he's asking really of you in your mornings. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? How you feeling today? How can I bless you? But we're not even acknowledging that. And all I'm saying is, guys, acknowledge Jesus in the morning. Acknowledge, what does Joshua 1, you know, 1:8 say? Right? Is it 1:8, 1:5, 1:5? I don't know. It says, meditate in the word day and night and you'll be successful, right? Meditate in the word day and night. I mean, how many people want to be successful in this room? Do we have any? All right. Well, then that is your plan of success. That is your formula, meditating in the word day and night. And you will be successful, allowing Jesus to dominate your lifestyle. Jesus is in your friend, in your relationships. Jesus is in your job. Jesus is in your school setting. When you need help on a project, Jesus is there. Holy Spirit is there. It says, blessed is the mind of the righteous, right? The memory of the righteous. Blessed is, he made me 10 times wiser. We see all the blessings of those that walk with God. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, we see all the blessings of those who walk with God. They were fairer. They were wiser. When God was in all those things, if they allowed God to be in those things, You know what? What did Daniel say to the king? He said, "I don't want to." Or he said to the king's advisor, "He said, I don't want to eat that. But if you'll give me those things that the law tells me to eat, or that God is telling me to do, if you allow me to live by this law that God's showing me and telling me to do, then I will be fairer, or I will be in better shape and health than the people that are actually eating of all the meat and drinking of all the wine." Because why? He did not want to sacrifice who he was because of his personal relationship with the Lord. And all we're saying right now is, guys, don't sacrifice who you are. No matter what your friends are saying, no matter what the cool thing is to do, no matter what's happening in your school, don't sacrifice who you are, because in the long run, you will turn out to be fairer, you'll turn out to be smarter, you'll turn out to be better, and you'll do more for God than the other people that are not, even if they come to know God. And we pray for those people. And I'm not downgrading those people. But if you do these things, you'll come out more successful. You'll be able to take care of your parents. You'll be able to take care of buy houses, buy homes, do whatever. Because of relationship. Because of not forfeiting what God's already put in your life. Because of not giving like Esau, not giving the blessing up for a morsel. Because of standing when there's trials, temptations, and tests. The trials, temptations, and tests come to us all, but God delivers them out of us, out of the all. God delivers us out of them all. Right? Relationship. It benefits you. When I was growing up, just a little bit of quick story real quick before I actually turn to Psalms 139 real quick, please. Psalms 139, verse 14. I'm reading from New King James here. Says, I will praise you, if you're there. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well, or my mind knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. What does that mean? I'm like, when I first saw this scripture, I was like, wow. You know what that really means to me? That your life is written with your name on it in a book in heaven. Every day of your life is already written down. God already knows what you're going to do, what you're going to be best at. God already knows what you've been fashioned for, what you've been trained for, what personality you have, where that fits. God already knows all of that. And you're just what kind of living that out. So right now, in this very moment, this was already written down in heaven, in my book, in my wife's book. Right now, in this very moment, you guys are already called. You were written down. This is written down for you. And isn't it really cool to think about what tomorrow was bring? Wouldn't it be really cool to say, God, what's today bring? Right? What's today bring, Lord? That verse in chapter 14, or verse 14, Psalm 139, it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. That word fearfully actually means reverently. It means a feeling or attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. When God made you, he was in awe of you. Wow. The creator of the world, the one that measured out how the oceans would come and form in the breadth of his hand, the one that made the mountains in a few fingers, the one that cast out devils in a finger, he was in awe of you when he made you. When he formed you, he's looking at you and saying, man, you are beautiful. You are talented. You are anointed. You're going to do this and you're going to do this. And he just took in deep respect of you, saying, man, she's just the apple of my eye. She is just what I live for. God lives for you. He loves to bless you. That is his purpose in life. Is he just wants to bless you. He wants to hear you praise him, and he wants to bless you, and he's looking for that personal relationship with you. You know, Jeremiah, he said this. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah, if you want to put up Jeremiah 1:5 real quick, 1:5, like 5 minutes left. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. You and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. That word young in some renditions means youth. I can't speak to you. I'm only a youth. I can't speak for you. I'm only a youth. Right? Let's read verse 7, if you'll put that up. Jeremiah 1, 7, 8, and 9, 10. 7. The Lord replied, "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." Verses 1, 8, 1, 9, and 10. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, "Look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant." What he said to Jeremiah said, "Look, I've given you everything you need. You're not too young. Don't say you're a youth. Don't say this is for me and for later. Don't say that I can't touch my city or my friends. Don't say that I can't touch my job. Don't say that I can't change things that I don't like to see, that I don't like in my atmosphere or in my relationships. Because God has already blessed you. He's already placed His word inside of you. And you have the power to uproot and to tear down. You have the power to build and create and to cause things to change. And there's great anointing. When he made you, he gave you all of this power and all this authority to do things. And if you're not building that relationship and not releasing that power and the anointing, then you're not using the gifts God's called you to give or use." Jeremiah ended up changing, prophesying for years and changing things. Abraham said he was too old, right? Moses said he talked too slowly and couldn't speak well. Samuel was a child. David was a murderer. Elijah was scared. The Shunammite woman didn't want a son, right? Jonah hated the people of Nineveh, right? But he went. He might have hated them, but he went. The disciples were never ready, and they never got it. You know, in the disciples' case, they were about your age. You know, there's a speculation, but in the Jewish law, at 18 years of age, they were allowed to marry. At 15 years of age, they were supposed to either be tested, or 13 to 15, tested and go on and further study in the Word, or be in their trade. So when John and them were in their trade, they were probably a little bit older, probably around 17 or 18, because they didn't have wives. Peter was the only one that had a wife. So they're probably in between 15 and 18 years old. Just from their Jewish tradition and law, right? And God picked who? Them. Who did God pick to train? It wasn't the people in Bible school, because they weren't in Bible school. At the age of 13 to 15, if you went on, and followed a rabbi. That was when they selected you. They actually memorized the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. They actually memorized all that. And if they know it well enough, then they're selected to go on into Bible school. Can you imagine memorizing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers? Deuteronomy? That's crazy. But it's doable, I guess, right? But they would have selected them, right, to go on for further Bible school. So these were the unselected, the young, the unmarried, that God said, "I want you," or Jesus said, "I want you to follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." I just want you to know that Jesus is here tonight, and He has selected you to follow Him. He's here tonight. He selected you for a relationship. If I can get just the keyboards to come on up. I really feel in my heart, as I was praying and prepping for the service, and altar care, come up too, please. When I was praying and prepping for the service, I really felt that there were some decisions for the crowd, not for salvation, right? But if you say it in your heart tonight, and you're saying, you know, what you're saying, it's really good, and I'm really listening, and I'm really taking this to heart. And you're saying, "Lord, that's me. I have that call, and I want to start operating in ways I've never operated right now. I want to do things differently. I really felt you pulling on my heart. I want to see you operate in my life in ways I've never seen. Lord, I want to acknowledge you and start a relationship that's deeper than I've ever started or had a relationship with you before." The Lord spoke this word over my life lately. This is a word that's kind of carried me through. He said this. He said, "Nigel, you're about to come on a season of intimacy that you've never had with me before." That's the most exciting thing that I was in awe. Wow, Lord, I get to be even more intimate than I've known you before.
If you're feeling kind of like that, I encourage you, please be bold. We're all family here, right? Come up, let the altar team pray. I prayed about this service, and I know that God has a gift for you and those that will come up and allow them to lay hands. These ministers are anointed. The whole atmosphere is charged right now. And if you want to come on up while the music's playing, let them minister to you right now. Just come on up. Just stand up. Just say, if that's you, go ahead and lift your hands right now. Right, come on up. Right here, come on up. Just talk with people up here. Talk with people up there. Let them pray for you. You guys, the other people that, you know, you're already feeling God and just already there. If you would, just pray with me for these people that are doing what they're doing. If you'll just bow your heads and pray. Guys, if you still feel like, hey, that's me, just come on up. No worries. Nobody's looking.